Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 10th day of May, 2020. We're going to look at a little bit of a word here called loneliness, addiction, all that stuff that people are going through. They just don't want answers, so we're going to take a little look at it. I'm not going to go, you know, head on into it here on radio. It would take too long, and you probably would be so bored with it. But nevertheless, it's something that we all have to face one way or another, how we deal with ourselves, our relationship with ourselves, which is very difficult. I want to remind you that on Saturday mornings now at 9 o'clock, you can join us for our Zoom, chit-chat. It's a dialogue, and I usually have some sort of subject matter to discuss and speak about. And if you're of the ilk and you would like to join in on this, I would love to have you. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a Zoom Saturday discourse. Just click on it, and you will follow us right into the Saturday morning offerings that we're going to be doing. I'm going to be doing from now on. Seems that everybody likes it, so we're going to do it. And if it helps, which it seems to, I'm going to do as much as I can to help make love possible. So there you are, and I want to invite you to join us and be with us. Also, there are so many things on the website: podcasts, videocasts, commentaries, TV programs, radio programs, everything that is there to help you not get through this time, but awaken to the meaning of this time in our lives. And that's really what it's all about. So let's get into it. Let me give you a little prelude on this. The kind of emails I'm getting are of a place where people are deeply frustrated. They're frustrated about what they're meeting, what they're finding out, what they're doing with their lives. And come to find out, there's a lot of people who just don't like themselves. And I am not surprised at any of this at all. They need people to buffer them. So I chose three emails that I received this week, and I got 15 regarding this very subject. And it's interesting, I've never had this many on one subject in a week. So this means that it's pretty important. This is the pandemic, not the virus. What we're going to talk about today, our relationship and the lack we have thereof with ourselves. First question comes from Ronald, and he says he does not want me to use his location. Okay. He says, "Come to find out, Greg, I'm bored with my life. What do I do when I'm 55 years old and can't live with me?" Ronald. Ronald, first of all, I want to say you are very honest and you're very forthright, and your email was very intelligently written. And I want to thank you for that. It's refreshing. Believe me, it is. I admire your honesty. I deeply admire it. So you're 55 years old, Ronald, and you find out at this tender time in your life by being quarantined in your house or in your life, and come to find out in this quarantine, you're stuck with yourself, and you're not real happy about it. What to do? Imagine the people around you who feel maybe the same way you do about you, but would never tell you because they wouldn't want to hurt your feelings, something like that. When you really understand the nature of all of this and how it works and how we live with ourselves, which is a very important subject, how do I live with the Gregory? See, we don't have third person status here. We don't separate ourselves. we don't see that there is the mind and how it is connected to the body and how it answers to emotionality. We don't really see that. We just react to it. We just assume this is the way everything is and this is the way everything should be. We don't really understand that there is another, I'm going to use a word here, entity or person that is involved in all of this. And you can't see it because the mind and the body consume us, burn us, eat us up with desire and pride and jealousy, ambition and fear and hatred. We have all of that going on. And because we do, it makes it very, very difficult for any of us to recognize what is really going on in our life, to really understand the nature of our livingness. We just think of ourselves as a physiological person, a biological person, a psychological person, and we don't see the spiritual. I use that word spiritual. What I really mean by it is the authentic part of us, the really authentic part. The part that lives on and on and on. And this is the problem with most people. We find it very easy to pick and choose our own philosophy about life. And we create a philosophy of life that isn't necessarily working with the truth of our authentic life. We don't want to maybe think in terms of reincarnation. We don't really want to think in terms that there is no heaven or hell. The pedestrian mentality that most of us possess dictates to us exactly the kind of life we're going to have. It wants to fit in with other people, and it wants to be consumed by other people so we feel right about ourselves, whatever that means. That's different for everyone. There are very few people who have the gall and the audacity to be authentic. And that means instead of me just caving in to my Gregory mentality, my pen lineage, I step back from it. I take a look at it. I understand what it wants to do. I have the intelligence, which is a word called faith, to understand how all of this works. You see, in authentic faith, in the real faith that lives within us, there is a form of intelligence. This intelligence exceeds my mental acuity. So instead of me running around and thinking in terms of right and wrong, which is what most people do, I think in terms of causation. Ronald, when you're in third person, if you can develop it, you won't be concerned about who was right, who was wrong, who was good, who was bad. You will see into the causation of everything. If you can do that, your faith will be born. This faith is not a hope, a wish, a desire, a belief. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with being intelligent. Intelligent enough to see into what is really going on and what is the cause of it and the possible effect that it will have on you, on others. And to have this faith, you have to get rid of, as it were, or shed the ruthlessness of the mind and body that only live in a Darwinian economy, a Darwinian premise of survival of the fittest. We are here to love one another, to help one another. It's a part of our experience here on this planet. And if we do this, if we can do this, if we're willing to do this, then a great deal of goodness starts to emerge from within us. And this goodness is a point of view. This goodness is compassion and loving kindness. I have to dump my prejudice. I have to dump my my preferences as to what I think is good and bad and right and wrong and what should not be. I have to dump those premises. And if I do, if I'm willing to do that, which in my case I am, something starts to bloom inside. Something very different starts to bloom inside. This blooming is a state of goodness. That's all I can say. It is the nature of you, the authentic nature of you. And you don't need to be lost in a world where there's drama and all sorts of ugliness. You can be living in a life where you live in the world, but the world does not live in you. That's the key. That very narrow path that we can all walk. There you are, kiddo. Ronald, I loved your email. I want to thank you for taking the time to write it and be so forthright. It was very powerful, and I loved it dearly, and I will probably always keep it. It will be in my memoirs. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Raquel. Raquel does not tell me where she lives. I need approval. I need to get approval, I find out. I need people to do that. I need to be important. I am ashamed of all of this. If I don't get it, I get depressed. Evidently, I have to be very important. Can you say something about this on your program, Raquel? First of all, Raquel, you too are very brave. You too are very honest. You too are showing great integrity. And I bow to that. I really do. These things you talk about being basically essential, are problems that a lot of women have. Men want to be important. Women want to be essential. The whole job of a woman in the Darwinian thing is that she finds an important man that she can be essential to so he won't leave her. He provides the dough, the money, the house, the car, the whole thing, and she becomes attentive, the attendant to his needs. And that's just the way we set it up. It is also true in the DNA, the genetic nature of us, that all of this occurs. It's a natural thing. It shouldn't be looked at like you're broken. It's just you're following your body. You're following your DNA. You're following your genetics. And that's what you're doing. Is it helpful right now? No. Is it serving you well? No. Is it going to change anything within you? No. Because all of this stuff that I just talked about eventually becomes a profound weakness in us, and we miss the whole thing. So what I want to say to you here, and what is important for you to understand, is this pandemic, this virus, this seclusion that we are being asked to do, which in my neighborhood, my little part of the world, people are starting to really ignore it. This is a time to reevaluate, maybe to change our life. And I find people resisting the chance to change their lives. They don't want a new life. They like their old life, and they insist upon returning to it. Now, the tolerance that people have had to be, quarantined in their home has gone to the end. And a lot of people are just falling off the cliff, and they're just doing what they normally want to do, which is be outside, talk to other people, go to the beach, not do the social distancing, not wear masks. They don't get it. They just don't get it, and they don't want to get it, and they don't think they have to get it. And, well, that's where they're at, and so be it. So the big deal here is for you during this time to begin to look at why you need to be essential. What is it in your persona, your personality? What is it when you go off the cliff and just go unconscious and start acting and reacting as you did before the pandemic, and you were living as this kind of person, that kind of person? You need to really look at it. Get a notebook, a journal, write down, well, this is what I normally would do, and this is depressing because I don't normally get to do it and act this way or live this way. Then you need to look at it and ask yourself, what is that? Why do I need that so? Why has that become so blooming important to me? Now, if you can start to look into it without criticism, just self-observation, no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, just watching, with no intent of changing anything or trying to be better or lesser, just observing. If you can do that, which you can, then you will start to awaken to certain qualities within you that are deeply important to the meaning of your life. These qualities will reveal to you the nature of your psychology, the nature of your beliefs, the nature of your fears. And then you will have to make, Raquel, some kind of decision in your life where you're either going to cave into all of this or transcend all of it. Most people don't have the horsepower to transcend. They just don't. They don't have the ilk, the intent, the inclination to change at all. They want to run their life controlling it the way they think it should be controlled and be comfortable, and that's as far as they ever want to go. Now, if that's the case with you, that's the case with you. And there is nothing I'm ever going to be able to say to help you. A person, it must be ready for inner transformation, metamorphosis. They have to be ready for it. They have to be willing of it. If they're not, they're not. If they have had enough of themselves, if you are, as Lhasa said, sick of your own sickness, then something of a change, a real change, can occur within you. But you really have to be sick of it. You have to look at it and go, I keep doing this over and over and over again. What am I doing? Why do I keep doing this same thing over and over again? Now, if you can understand that, if you can get involved in that, if that can be the state of your being, where you come into a place of love, something is going to happen, something really beautiful. I really mean it. This is a great occasion. I'm sitting here. I don't have words for it. We're not looking anymore at our conscience. We're looking at the lack of our consciousness in this country. We thought we were too big to fail. We never thought we'd be in this position. Food is now becoming a problem. Everything is becoming a problem because this is a big house of cards. How we have built it, it's all been illusion and delusion based on the emotionalism of patriotism that really doesn't work. It never did, it won't, and the tree of compassion needs to be refreshed here with kindness and mercy. And it's not being done that way. It probably won't ever be done that way because people are inept when it comes to themselves, their inner self. They don't want to see their inner self. They don't want to see how they operate. They don't want to find that little man behind the curtain who's running the great and powerful ego, the Oz of us. We just don't want to see that. But should the day come when you do, should that moment come when you start to realize, I can't do this anymore, this is a time for me to change, then there are methods you can use to help yourself. And if you want to know what those are, give me a call. I can be a little more specific with you that I can't hear on the radio. Just see what you want to be and do what you want to be. It's not working anymore. Now we must persist in being that which is love. Raquel, thank you for your beautiful, beautiful email. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, we really do. We never imagined as a nation that we would be facing the real demon, which is not the virus, but ourselves. We're really finding out what we are and are not made of. Last question comes from Carrie in Los Angeles. I am deeply afraid of my future and what will happen to me. What to do, Carrie? Carrie went into all sorts of scenarios in this, and I'm not going to go into those scenarios there. First of all, they're imaginary, they're delusional, and it wouldn't help. Carrie, listen to me and try to understand. You're making all of this up in your mind. Your mind has been allowed, evidently, throughout your lifetime to have free access to your emotionality, your genetic disposition. And evidently, this is what your life is all about, fulfilling your desires, your emotionality. And if this is the case, which it certainly seems obvious to me that it is, you're going to find great difficulty in your life, and this is going to be a very tough time. So you want to use this time wisely, with a sense of inner distinction for kindness and love. You're going to want to take a moment to go back and not be reactive to what you're afraid of. You're afraid of your future? What future? What are we talking about? Do you know when you came into your future, when you lived your future? Most people don't. The future is something that's out there, and we want it to be a certain way, but we're always dealing with the present. That whatever is within me that is present. And if fear is present in me, if fear sustains my life, then I have a real problem. And I do things out of that fear that merely make me feel more and more inept as time goes on. You don't want to live in that ineptness. You want to have the courage to have an understanding that is beyond the capacity of your genetics. And this is a very difficult thing for people to do. This is why meditation is so important. When we meditate, we are dropping the ego, the pride, the vanity. We are dropping what is right and wrong and good and bad. We're letting things go that were of our genetic nature. And now we're feeling a causation, a beauty, a sense of not attachment to the ego, but awareness of life itself. This is very, very meaningful and can change everything. You start to feel beyond your emotions in this place. But if you continue to live your life in accord with your emotionality, you'll miss all of this that I just spoke of, and you'll never understand what it means to live in the way, the truth, and the light of your own spiritual heart. Because really, in the bottom line, that's what it's all about. I hope that helps you. I really do, Carrie. I understand how you feel, but you can't freak out about things that haven't happened. The future, it's very dubious now, and we don't know what a future is or even how it will look. Thank you for your kind email. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. Another weekend. Stay safe. What can I say? Liberate yourself in this time. It's time to let go of what we insist upon in our living. I'll be back next week. Have a wonderful weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.